talking about not hearing me. I'll fine stay here. But getting around different parts of the country, I went to a place one time, and this is the fault of gospel hall people everywhere. They always sit at the back. Most of them. Some come to the front, but there's some people continually sit at the back. And you have 8 rows of seats that are no one in, and the audience is all at the back. So this place I went to, a rather fine group that night, and they were all holding right to the back seat, from the back almost filled, and all the rest was empty. So Paul said one time, I caught you in guile. And I thought what I would do that night. They were all individual seats. I asked one of the brethren, would you mind helping me with the podium? So he said, what do you want? I said, I want to carry up to the back. So we carried the podium up to the back, and I saw the people looking. They thought the Scotchman was stealing the podium away. And we got it to the back, and I put it there, and I said, now would you all please come your chairs and face the podium? And that night they were all at the front. But we can't come in these chairs, of course, and if you sit at the back, it's legitimate right for you to sit wherever you want. But it's nice to come down to the front and be one of us. Now, I'll try my best. I won't shout. I'll try and just speak in a natural tone, and I hope you hear me, because I have 2 marks against me. Sometimes I shout, and then the next thing I'm Scotch, and you can't understand that. And these two are a bad combination. But I've had a most blessed week. I never remembered any time in my life, and I've been many places, but I have enjoyed the fellowship of God's people. And I say that sincerely, Bob, as I have here. It's been most wonderful. Never have singing in my life like it. Oh, I froze just to hear this dear brother here leaning, shake his hand. It does good. It does a great, and you do a great job. I'm telling you, it's wonderful. And you know, the meals, oh, they're just out of this world. Lovely. The food tastes better. Is there anyone who doesn't enjoy the food here? They all enjoy. And then the heat in the cabin and the nice, comfortable, clean cabin is wonderful. And there's one other thing I must say. And it only could happen here in Park of the Pines. I have a little bird that comes every morning and it whistles on top of my roof. I think it belongs to the fellowship too. And you know, I woke up this morning, that little bird was whistling. And I thought it was us. The associated cut my mind right away. Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. They are little angels from God, they are. I've known all these ministering spirits, sent forth to minister to those who shall be the heirs of salvation. Do you hear me? Right. I've known all these ministering spirits, sent forth to minister to those who shall be the heirs of salvation. And so I lifted my heart this morning and said, Lord, thank you for the little bird that sings every morning. I'll miss it when I go away. I wish I could take it with me. Or her, as the case might be. The last verse, the last chapter, and about the last verse of Revelation. And tonight I might say, if you have any friends, try and get them along tonight. We'll be speaking on the last message to the church, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to see this audience, this hall filled. And above all, I would like to see some precious souls saved. I hope God will crown these meetings with his blessing of seeing ones brought to know Jesus Christ as the Savior. Chapter 22 of Revelation, verse 19. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Here's the verse. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I like the way our sovereign friend said, be with you all. Never miss one out of God's people. It's a most unique thing in the connection here with the last promise of the church. God himself, there's never another thing said. The canon of scripture closes with these words. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. An apostle was writing one day, his name was Paul, and he wrote these magnificent words. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Let's break that down so you'll see it much better. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the infinitive, that is the various moods seen here. the infinitive, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a majestic title. Always speak of him in those terms. You know the grace, the poise, the love, the affection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich, the absolute, he was rich. How rich? We're not told. I'm amazed at the marvelous word in Ephesians, the exceeding riches of his grace. The real word is the richness. It's not quantitative, but qualitative. The richness of his grace. That's it. You might see lots of milk, as I have seen sometimes. I've seen thousands of gallons of milk at one time. That's riches. But when you taste it, that's richness. The cream on the top. I don't like this watered down stuff. But the cream on the top with the milk. It's the richness. It's the qualitative aspect of his grace. Marvelous. We have never yet seen that. We will. And so the absolute, though he was rich. The comparative, he became poor. How poor? Again, we're not told. I know this much, my friend, that he was born in a stable or a manger. It was another man's. It wasn't his own. He lived in a house a good part of his days. It was another man's house. He preached from a boat one day. It was another man's boat. And one day he borrowed a room, an upper room. It belonged to another man. Another day he went up the Via Dolorosa, the pathway to the cross, and he was suspended on a cross, but it was another man's cross. And they took his body down and they wrapped it in a sheet, but the sheet was provided by another man. And they put him in a grave, a tomb. And they rolled a stone over that tomb, but we're told it was a tomb that belonged to Joseph of Arimathea. It was another man's tomb. He owned nothing. And yet he created all by the word of his power. What amazing grace. Though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor. When was he rich? Anyone who denies the deity of Jesus Christ, I must ask them that first question. When was he rich? And we find that eternity antedates time altogether, and away back in the innermost recesses of eternity, Jesus Christ was God. He was rich. But for your sakes he became poor. How poor? We're not told. Just get a little glimpse of it, that's all. But he became poor. And then the superlative, that we, through his poverty, might be. How rich? We're not told. You'll experience it someday. The dear brother was talking about old and cold, and I, being a Scotchman, I thought there should be one word mentioned, that's gold. Not to give. I believe we should give to this work. I really believe that. I think that Christians everywhere should support this great work. I go back to St. Petersburg, and I tell you, I will speak well of the happy, happy time I spent down here. It's been the closest place to heaven I've been for a long time. And you'll see me back again, not to be here. I want to come back for a rest the next time. I can't enjoy my breakfast now because I'm thinking about what I've got to say to you folks and what you might say to me, though no one has said anything wrong yet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. The last benediction. I think it's rather significant that the last thing our Lord did in Luke chapter 24, he's walking with two of his own, and then he leads some others with him. Conversation about Christ leads to conversation with Christ. They talked of the things concerning Christ, and Jesus himself drew near. I like that. The Lord will never be in company he's not wanted. If you talk, my friends, about the Lord Jesus, we had a nice talk last night about him, and I felt very definitely that Jesus himself drew near. And he went with him. And as they went along the Emmaus Road, I'm sure their hearts were filled. All the times when I was a little boy, and even now, I sit down and I think, when he took the little children on his knee, I should like to have been with them then. Who wouldn't like to have been with him when he walked the Emmaus Road and heard him in that masterly discourse, beginning at Moses and all the prophets? You know what I believe? I leave this with you. I'm rather inclined to think that what he told them that day was the entire Epistle to the Hebrews. I really believe that. You know why? That's where it begins. Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What an exposition. No, if I preach on Chuck's truth, you might disagree. But if I speak on the glories of Christ, there's no one ever disagrees. There's something wrong with the truth. And you all shake your hands and say, I enjoyed that. So did I. It's nice when you enjoy it too. So he walked along the road with the disciples, and then he was parted from them. Significant. And never in the New Testament scripture do you find that Jesus went away. He was parted. He went out of sight. Now there's a vast difference. If I open this door here, and I went out of sight, I'm not away, I'm behind the door. You see, he never went away. Our Lord is still here. There standeth one among you whom ye know not. Standeth. Oh, I believe that. That Jesus Christ is present. Unseen we love thee, dear thy name, but when our eyes behold, with joyful wonder we'll proclaim, the half hath not been told. And so, dear sister, dear brother, you who are widows or widowers, this is a word of comfort. Our Lord never went away. He just went out of sight. He'll be back again, out of sight. One other thing I want to say just along this line, I feel exercised to say. The grave where our blessed Lord's body lay, you know what it says? It says there was a garden, and in the garden, a sepulchre. What's a sepulchre? A grave. Here are two terms in Congress as well. A grave, a garden. Lovely. The grave was in the garden. Look again, my friend, where your beloved one is today. Not in a grave. Oh, just look a little further. What do you see? A garden. When the Lord created this earth, he put our first parents where? In a garden. In a garden. God intended that man should live in the garden. But what did man make out of it? He made out of the whole world a grave. It's a vast cemetery today because of the wickedness of man's heart. So the grave was in the garden. What did the garden speak? Fragrance, beauty, singing birds, life, and joy. What does the grave speak of? Everything that's foreboding, sorrow, anguish of heart. But remember, don't look at the one side. It was a grave, but the grave was in the garden. Get these two things together. And God always tempers these things. Someone says he tempers a lamb to the shore and wind. Well, I used to believe that. I no longer believe that. He does. He tempers a lamb to the shore and wind by putting wool on his back. We should always say that. God gave wool to the lamb to keep it warm. That's how he tempers the lamb to the shore and wind. And so our Lord walked out, and with this group behind him, he goes up. He's just about to walk the hill. And the last thing he did, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. Isn't that nice? What does the word bless mean? It means to make happy. Make happy. If there's anything I detest, I should get away from this thing. If there's anything I detest, it's a Christian who walks around earth all the time as if he or she were attending a funeral service. I don't believe the Lord, at least he never made me that way. When I got saved, I began to be happy and joyful, and I've never ceased, and the brethren will never make me cease. If I can't shout or sing here, I'll go elsewhere. But I don't want to, because I can do it here, and I thrill at the singing of those hymns. But the last thing our dear Lord did, he took them out as far as to Bethany, he lifted up his hands, and he made his people happy. Isn't that nice? Brethren, I would think a colossal blunder on my part if I left you worse than I found you. If I left you all fighting and arguing and trouble here, I would feel sorry. I'd want the Lord to take me home to heaven. I hope when I leave you all happy. Every one of you. Get the smile this way. He lifted up his hands and he blessed. Do I believe in the resurrection of Christ? I must when I believe this. This is asked of the resurrection of Christ. Paul was writing one time about the resurrection, and he told how he was seen of him, of Cephas, and of the 12, and then of so many more, and then he said, and of above 500 brethren at once. Now, I could conceive, though I don't, I say I may conceive that Paul might have been wrong. I may conceive that Peter might have been wrong. I even may conceive that the 12 might be wrong. But I will never concede that 500 could be wrong. He was seen of above 500 brethren at once. Isn't that nice? And then Paul said, of whom the greater part remain unto this day. The resurrection was a tremendous fact, and so was the ascension. But the Lord's life is over now. His path has been trod, almost. The will of God has been completely satisfied. God has looked down and said, Thou art my beloved Son, and thee is all my delight. Now he's about to go back to heaven. And the last thing, the last thing he did, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. Oh, I love that. He made them happy. Let's observe this just for a moment, an illustration. We have two, not sacraments, but ordinances. That's the proper scriptural term used in 1 Corinthians. We have two ordinances in the church. Sacrament comes from a Latin word which means sacramentum, which means divine. Well, there's nothing binding about baptism or the Lord's Supper. I was saying in St. Petersburg recently, I believe this. I don't know, there's a lot of tradition that's in all our churches and assemblies. And a man asked to be baptized or a woman, and they say, well, you must sit back 2 weeks. Where do they get this 2 week thing? Say, man, it's not there. I don't know why we practice a thing when it's not there. In the book of Acts, and you read it, you'll see, everyone that was saved by the grace of God, immediately they were baptized. What's wrong with that? Would you go for that tonight if there was somebody saved and they said, I want to be baptized? Well, if you wouldn't, I would. What's wrong with it? Where do we get sitting back for 2 weeks, 2 months? And so, the Lord Jesus, he goes out with his own. He lifted up his hands and he blessed. Now, in the Lord's Supper, in baptism, the Lord's Supper, we have these two things again. Baptism suggests three elements, of course, first. There's water, there's bread, there's wine. What does water suggest? God's people should be clean. I tell you, my friend, that you're living a double life, and I'm not indicating you are, but if you are, you have no place around this table. You have no place in the fellowship. God's people should be clean. Be ye clean that bear the service of the Lord. And so I know God's people should be clean. The Lord Jesus himself took the feet of his disciples and he washed them. His feet were never washed. They were anointed. They never had to be washed. I have never once questioned in my life the perfect sinless character of our blessed and adorable Lord Jesus Christ. Those who do, I fear you're on dangerous ground. So he took the feet and he washed them. According to his act or desire of what defilement was, he washed them, and then there's one thing that we brethren always leave out. Oh, I could tell you many things. I have very seldom ever heard a man that's spoken at mention this. What is it? He took a towel and he dried them. That's nice, isn't it? We leave the drying go. We never even say that. If you're going to wash your brother's feet, make sure you have a nice Turkish towel with you to dry them. I like my feet washed. Only once I got them washed. My wife doesn't believe in that kind of thing, but one time I was so sick with pneumonia, when I come home from work, I couldn't do a thing, and she bathed my feet, and then she dried them with a hot, warm towel. Nice. And so the Lord Jesus, he dried the disciples' feet. You must be clean. You must be. The second thing is bread. What does bread suggest? Bread suggests strength. The 104th Psalm, bread which strengthens the heart of man. Bread makes you strong. It makes you fat too. But bread makes you strong. God's people should be strong. If there's anything I detest, if someone has been on the road a long time and they always expect to be carried. The Lord said, rise, take up your bed and walk. You're on your own. When I was a little boy, my mother washed my face, because when I washed, I left a ring around here, but she always washed it, and she made my bed, and she made my food. But I grew up to a time she threw a towel at me one day, she said, wash your own face. That's it. You're on your own. That's the way it should be with Christians. We don't want to carry anyone. You shouldn't expect to be carried. Rise, take up your bed and walk. You should be strong. Oh, I hate vacillating Christians. I shouldn't use that word hate. I love them less. Vacillating Christians. Christians who, nobody looks at me. Well, no wonder. I had a friend the other day say, who's that man over there? Who is he? I said, go over and ask him. That's the best way to make friends. If you don't know, you'll never know if you don't ask him. Somebody said to me at a conference down on the highway that one time, we had a question and answers after the meeting. And someone said, I'd like to direct the question to John Markman, though the question was directed, shall we know one another in heaven? Well, the only answer I had to that was this, get to know one another better down here. Why wait till you go to heaven? And you'll have no problem by knowing one another in heaven. And so on the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe here, it shows out in these two elements, that in water, in the baptism, it's a symbol of cleanliness, we should be clean. In the Lord's Supper, we should be strong. Oh, the last wine. What's wine? Have been forced down again, wine which maketh glad the heart of God and man. Wine is a symbol of happiness and joy. God's people should be happy. That's why I'm so glad I come here. I go to other places, and believe you me, I don't see the shining faces I see here. And I was going to say you're old people. I won't say that, of course. But some of these people that sit around there, and you think it was a detective agency you were in. Where did you come from? Where did you preach first? What nonsense. I'll tell you, my dear brethren and sisters, I say this sincerely with all the candor I possess. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes, and it should be a Lord's Day morning, it will be that somewhere on the earth. The way the axis of the earth turns. Should it be a Lord's Day morning, there may be enough of believers, so-called, left to carry on the Lord's Supper, oblivious to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has come. Are you aware of that? Not all that say, Lord, did we not eat and drink in thy presence? Depart from me. I never knew you. Don't you think because you're in an assembly, you belong to the brethren, or you belong to this. If you don't belong to Christ, you're left. That's it. You can like me or not like me, I can't help that, but it's true. And you make the thing, oh, you say, have you doubts about your salvation? Many times, many times. Not now so much as I used to. But every time I had a doubt, you know what I did? I get down and said, oh, God, if I wasn't saved that night, save me now. Make sure about it. And I'm as sure of going to heaven as any man could ever be. I made sure of that. I hope you have done that too. I'm not indicating now a bit. I'm only saying it's a good, healthy thing to say, Lord, I want to make sure I'm in right relationship with you. I'm saved. Oh, what an awful thing that a man or a woman, as I have known one that lived 25 years in an assembly breaking bread and then discovered they were absolutely unsaved, knew it all the time and never said a word. Thank God that night under the ministry of John Bernard long ago, the woman was brought to know Jesus Christ as a Savior. So don't you think because you're amongst the brethren or anyone else, I hear this kind of thing, oh, I go to the brethren, as if that meant anything. My friends, if you use the word brethren, I like the word brethren, you know. If it's spelled, someone said, with capital, the capital B, well, I like to spell it with all capitals. That's it. That's the kind of brethren I belong to. I was only amongst Plymouth brethren once. You know what it was? There were four of us in a Plymouth car one night. And we stopped along the road. And I said, this is the only four Plymouth brethren ever I've known in my life. And that's the only four I want to know. We are brethren in Christ. All the relationship. The life that goes through the risen head goes through the body and every member of his blessed body. We were all baptized by one spirit into what? One body. Not two. Not two bodies and one head, not two heads and one body, but one head, one body. Christ is the head. We are the members. And if my dear brother Willie and I, if I was working with him outside, he's my boss, I have a right to be subordinate to him. Scripture teaches that. As my master, I'm the servant, I have a right to be subordinate to him and do what he tells me, provided it's legitimate, which I think it would be. But the moment we come in that door on Lord's Day morning, Brother Willie and John Martin are the same level. We're one in Christ. There's no flabby, there's no laity. There's no such a thing as the Lord's servant and the rest aren't. You're the Lord's servant, my friend. I hear this when I go around the country. Are you giving all your time to the Lord's work? I don't know a man that's giving all his time to the Lord's work. I don't. And I know a lot is giving hardly any time. But we come to this relationship. Everything I do, everything I am, I should be motivated by the love of Christ the Lord. And mind you, at the judgment seat of Christ, that's what God deals with. It's motives. In the day when God shall judge the secrets or the word is motives there, by of men, by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Why do I stand here today and preach the way I do? Is it to get the praise of men? God alone knows it. God alone. If it is, wood, hay, and stuff. If it isn't, gold, silver, and precious stones. God knows the motive of every heart. And so, in the elements here, the water to be clean, the bread suggests we should be strong, and the wine suggests we should be happy. And so the Lord goes on, that just before he went up to heaven, shortly before it, he said to his disciples, "Go tell my brethren, I have sent to my Father and to your Father." First of all, he said, "Touch me not. Touch me not." Why did he say that? Because Mary wanted to perpetuate the old relationship of knowing Christ after the flesh. She tried to hold him. "Touch me not." And then he added this word, "Go tell my brethren." I like that. You know, if that had been me, I wouldn't have said that. I know it. Judas, he wasn't one, of course, but Judas who betrayed him, Peter who denied him, Thomas who doubted him, and they all forsook him and fled, every one of them. And then the Lord said, "My brethren, marvelous grace, go tell my brethren what? Tell them I ascend to my Father and you, Father." Ah, here's a marvelous relationship. My Father by eternal generation. You, Father, by gracious adoption. But because he's my Father, and you belong to me, my Father becomes your Father. Is that amazing? What a relationship. And to my God, and to your God. Your God? But me, I'm linked with you and through the mystery of the incarnation, and so your God becomes my God. Both he which sanctifies, and they who are sanctified are. And for this cause he is not ashamed of what? What's that last one? Tell my brother. All this marvelous unity and relationship. The risen head, Christ. Every member of his body. Aren't you satisfied with his name? Would you like, if you were being married, and your wife to be turned round when the preacher or whoever it was said, "Will you take this man to be your lawful wedded wife, you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife, rather, and this man to be your lawful wedded husband," and so on. And then she turns around and she says, "I don't mind taking him, but I won't change my name." Would you like that? Not a bit. His blessed name. His name shall shed its fragrance still along life's thorny road, shall sweetly smooth the rugged hill that leads me up to God. There with all the blood-bought throng from sin and sorrow free, I'll sing the new eternal song of Jesus' love to me. All the people of God are elected to all the blessings of God in Christ. Do you believe that? That's the Epistle of Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who are blessed with what? All spiritual blessings. Now, there's a difference between the material blessings. Some have health, and they don't have wealth. Some have wealth, and they don't have health, and some have neither health nor wealth. But when it comes to spiritual blessing, we're blessed with all of them, if they want. And if you're only 6 hours in Christ, you have as many blessings in Christ as the man who's 60 years in Christ. Do you know that? You have. You fall into these blessings the moment you accept Christ. Everything that's true of him goes with it when you accept him. And so here we have, all the people of God are elected to all the blessings of God in Christ. I never believed in a federation of assemblies. Never. And I don't believe it now. And I will militate against it as long as I live. It doesn't have any place in God's word. The federation of assemblies, the grouping of assemblies, and we call ourselves a certain name. I do not believe, and never did, on a federation of assemblies, but I do believe in the fellowship of saints. Not the fellowship of assemblies. Sure, I believe in that, of course. Something deep, something larger, the fellowship of saints. And let me meet a man who belongs to Christ. I'll put you in this position. Supposing you was in jail today, and the Russians took over the country, and you were in jail, and right next to you there was a man who was a Baptist, we'll say, or a Methodist, and you look round and you look through the bars at him and you say, "Hello, sir, who are you?" "Well, I'm a Christian." "Oh, where do you go?" "I go to the Methodist church." "Oh, I see.
You go and sit down, will you?
I said, you belong to Christ? I sure do. Let me have your hand.
I tell you, bars make an awful difference, don't they? Maybe it'd be a good thing if some of us were put behind the bars for a while. Make us think more and appreciate the liberty we have.
I belong to Christ. And because I belong to Christ, the blessings that Christ has given me, He's given everyone else who's in Christ these same blessings. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings.
And so here is the language of this verse. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Now I want to illustrate this further. This grace. It's an amazing truth. As we look upon the life of our Lord Jesus Christ and also His death. Let me take His death and just let me go over the seven sayings of the Lord Jesus as an illustration. Not only an illustration of this truth here, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, but it's an illustration of our lives down here. Now I will give them, in what I believe the sequence of events as they happen. When our Lord Jesus Christ cried from the cross, when He looked out upon the group, He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what to do. That takes care of the past. Forgiveness of sins. Isn't that nice? What our Lord said on the cross takes care of the past. I have no thought of the past whatever. My sin, all the bliss of its glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to His cross, and I bear it no more. Blessed hope, blessed rest of my soul. And so, the first thing He said was, Father, forgive me. Have you ever noticed when He said that? It says, when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him. They were driving the nails into His hand, and it was precisely at that moment Jesus said, Father, forgive me. Marvelous grace. And yet in Oberammergau, we have ungodly men, and they mimic the last sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ for mercenary gain to the praise and the applause of wicked men and wicked women. What a world this is of judgment. It will be for judgment when Christ comes. And so, the last thing is, the first thing is, rather, He asked forgiveness for those around the cross. The next one was the future. Thou shalt be with me. That takes care of the future, doesn't it? And then all in between is our human life. Our family relationship, behold my mother. I think we should look after our families. We who are younger, at least those who are younger, should look after their families in the light of this truth. Then I thirst. Disintegration begins to set in. And thirst tells us that the human body is beginning to go down. I thirst. Then comes dark days. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? This is all through life. And then the journey is just about over. And you pack your bags, and you put in the last lot, and you pull the straps, it is finished, and you take off. And then you go to heaven, and the royal reception waiting for you up there, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, and life is over. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in every facet of your life. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. One little word more. In connection with something we rarely ever hear in our chapels anywhere, and that is in the ministry of angels, angelic ministry. Do you believe in angels? Glad to hear you do. We sometimes find out in the Roman Catholic Church, they have all kinds of angels flying around, but do you believe really in angels, angelic ministry? I do. God has sent those creatures to do His will. Are not all His ministering servants sent forth to minister unto those that shall be the heirs of salvation? Let me give you a company word. Some of you think, well, I may not be long on this earth. Someday I'm going to pass away, and I hope I'll have it light at eventide when I do. Well, let me tell you, just for your sake, listen to this comforting word. The rich man died and opened up his eyes in hell. The poor man died, listen to these words,
as the whole angels carry him.
That right? Would you be afraid of angels carrying you? My wife, I said that one day at the breakfast table. She said to me, she said, Dad, you better reduce because I'll have a hard job carrying you. But here's the transition from earth to heaven. Angels carry them. Marvelous grace. You know, brethren and sisters, I have seen this amplified throughout life in many ways. And for you who drive automobiles, let me tell you this, a word of warning. When you're going 80 miles an hour, the angel of the Lord left you long ago. You're on your own. As long as you obey the laws of the land, God's angels will be with you. Some 15 years ago, I thought I was going home to heaven. I had come back from work, rushed to an hospital, told by a surgeon my chances were very nil. I had a stone in one kidney, and I had an affected kidney, the other one. And I was told that if I didn't go through an operation immediately, I was through. I prayed the whole night in my bed, asking God's mind about it. And I felt that night before the operation was to take place, I felt it wasn't God's mind I should go through with. Well, brethren, I tell you, as we were talking about this last night, that not what I'm saying now, but about faith. Faith, my friend, is something that we have relegated to the background in our assemblies. It's a tremendous truth. And that night I felt not to go through with it. The company had four doctors, there were five doctors altogether. And of course, there I lay. People were praying. I was praying. I felt not to go through with it. The surgeon came in the morning and said, "What's the matter with you?" I could hardly speak. And he walked out the door and banged the door. Something he should never have done. But that day I got up out of my bed and I called a taxi cab and went home. Here I am today and never had an attack since. Amazing, isn't it? All glory to his precious name. I went to a doctor before coming down here, to two doctors, and I said, "I wish I had your kidneys." My friend, this is true. This is something that grips your heart. And so, I was sitting out in the back yard, my lawn, and I was sitting all alone in a chair. And something happened that day that has never happened in my life before, or perhaps ever again. While I was sitting there, along came a little meadow lark. I don't know if you have them down here, but they call them meadow larks, L-A-R-K-S. And he came along, and I'm sitting there half dead to the world, and he looked up to me and he started to chirp and sing. And then suddenly, he jumped up on my knee. My neighbor next door saw this. He jumped up on my knee, and then he started to sing again, swallow his little throat. And then he jumped up on my shoulder, and then he pecked my cheek, and I was afraid he would peck my eye, but he pecked my cheek, and he whistled again. And then suddenly, jumped back onto my knee, from my knee down to the ground, walked away a little bit, and then flew away. My neighbor said, "I never saw any of that before, neither did I," I said to him. And as I sat there, a verse came to my mind that day, just in the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Jacob went on his way, and the angel of God met him. Yes, God's little angel. This little thing that wood chips up there every morning, whistles like any. Is it a sparrow? Is it a robin? I don't know what it is. It's a bird. But I look upon it more than a bird. God says, "That man's kind of lonely down there. He's a little tired. Go down and cheer him up." And away he whistles. The angels of God met him. Do you see that in your life every day? Do you? Have there been times in your life when you were snapped like that from eternity? I'm sure there has. And so the last thing our dear Lord said, he lifted his hands and he blessed them. Yes, he made them happy. Oh, my brethren, you who take the platform, you who minister God's word, give a ministry of joy and comfort and happiness to God's people as the days get by. And so the angels of God met him. And when you go to be with the Lord, carried by the angels. Isn't that nice? Now, one other thing. Paul's writing in the letter of Philippians. He's sitting in a Philippian jail. And it's not a most pleasant place to be. I was only in jail once in my life. and I committed no crime. It was a new jail that was opened. I went through the jail to see it, and I said to the policeman, I said, I've never been in jail in my life. He said, you'll never say that now. So he got the hold of me, opened the door, and shut me in, locked the door. He said, lie down there. So I lay down on a steel bed. And then I rose up, and I said, could I have a parole? He said, yes, your parole's granted. Let me out. I tell you, if we were in jail, oh, brethren, what we owe to many of these dear men in Scotland, in England and Ireland, and in Spain and in France, the Huguenots and the Covenanters, many a time I ran over the graves of those dear men and women of God with my bare feet. These men sealed the testimony with their blood. These were days when it meant to be something, to be a Christian. And when the very fact of reading God's word alone meant death, we sit in our sealed houses and think we suffered persecution because someone passed us on the street and didn't look at us. Be a joyful Christian. And so Paul's sitting writing in jail. And he does what we do, at least what I do sometimes writing. I run out of steam. I don't know what to say. Hope you're well. What was say next? Oh, I just hope you're keeping well, all of you. Amen. That's it. Well, Paul's writing. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And then he stops. What more shall I say? Then he suddenly turns around. And again, I say rejoice. Like that. Rejoice in the Lord always. I can't think of any. Again I say, rejoice. Happiness, my friends, is something that is infectious. And you start to be happy and you'll find, well, I don't have to say that here because you're all happy. I never met a happier group in my life than you are. Your faces are a very exhibition of the radiance of the presence of God. Keep it that way. Keep it that way. Be like the little boy that said, as I told you yesterday, I'm happier new when I'm no happy than I was before when I was happy. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again. I say what? Rejoice. How nice to know that the last thing our dear Lord did, how tender, how sweet, he lifted up his hands. That high priestly ministry, he blessed, he made them happy. An old Scotch minister one time, he was, here I am going away again. He was speaking on three things, and he said that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died, he says that's my sins a war. The word the war is the corruption of the word away. We say a war. So he said the three points to my sermon. He says, when the Lord Jesus Christ died, that's my sins a war. Then he says, he arose and he says he became a great high priest. That's my cares of war. He says, one day he's coming. He says, that's me of war. Thank God someday we'll all be away. But until that time, I commend you to his grace, to the word of his grace, his joy, his peace, his satisfaction. And the greatest thing I could say to you people today is what our blessed Lord did before he left this scene. And his last benediction to the church, he said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Is that all? Let me hear that word again. So many Christians, you know, I know assemblies, regrettably. No, just with us, not with you. When you get to the point where you pass people in the street willfully and you won't speak to people, you question very deeply whether you're born of God. No brief. Many of these people will go to hell. They will. You call yourself whatever name you like. I'm satisfied with his blessed name alone. Christian. And so he lifted up his hands. And you think of that. Keep it in your mind all day. And he blessed them. He made them happy. Are you happy? What? No, that doesn't sound. Are you happy? Amen. And I hope the Lord teach you that. I can't see any other way why you couldn't be happy here. Everybody I've met since I've never stole one sour note since I come. Do you know that? And I don't want to see one before I go away. And so our dear Lord stood with his upstretched hands, the print of the nails in his hands, looking down in tenderness upon his ones that had to be left on the earth. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. May the Lord bless you. This final benediction, may it be the benediction of our blessed Lord,
upon the head and upon the light of all you dear people who belong to Christ. Shall we pray?
Oh, Father, we thank you for this note, perhaps just before the canon of Scripture closes, thou hast shown us thy abiding presence. Oh, thou wilt never leave us nor forsake us. In every vicissitude of life, thou wilt be with us. Thou wilt travel with us. Thou wilt care for us. His name shall shed its fragrance till along life's thorny road, shall sweetly smooth the rugged hill that leads us up to God. And there, with all the blood-bought throng, from sin and sorrow free, we'll sing the new eternal song of Jesus' love to me. We commend these dear, lovely Christians to thee, and for the administration of these grounds, thy dear brother and sister and others who help, we ask thee, Lord, for strength and for wisdom in the days to come, and for all those who prepare such lovely food and serve it so nicely to us, for the clean rooms, and for the joy and the satisfaction of our friends as we meet one another, and for the little birds that sing, we give thee thanks in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Shall we sing a hymn before we go? I would love to have you sing this hymn with us. You won't mind, it's not quite quarter past yet. 345. When Mr. Kennedy, John Kennedy, died, I sat and looked at the funeral procession, and my wife and I never spoke for about a half an hour. Tears run down our face. We were deeply moved by the untimely end of this dear man. I sat down and I wrote a letter to Robert Kennedy of condolence. I got a lovely letter back. And in that letter I quoted his hymn, Peace, Perfect Peace, in this dark world of sin. And I said, many times we gather around the little organ in our home, and I play it, my wife and I sing, a world of darkness outside, a world that's disturbed outside. And they sing this lovely hymn, and I said, I hope you'll sing it someday too. And I got word later that they're keeping those letters for the future days to be sealed in some place, I don't know where, but I never thought that at the time. But I said that the real joy was that I had peace in my heart, and I hope you have too. And notice these words. It's a question that's asked in every verse. Peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin, is that possible? Here's the answer. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Peace, perfect peace, by strong duties pressed. Is that possible? Yes. To do the will of Jesus, this is best. Peace, perfect peace, verse 4. With loved ones far away. What about them? In Jesus keeping the answer, we are safe, and they. And then the last one. Peace, perfect peace, our future all unknown. What shall we do about it? Jesus, we know the answer, and he is on the throne. I'll ask you to stand and we'll sing the first and the last verse of this lovely hymn, and then our meeting will be over.